This morning, I am so grateful to welcome to our pulpit a wonderful lady and a sister of mine in Michelle Pope, who is our annual conference lay leader and also the CEO of Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay. So thank you so much for joining us this morning and sharing a word with us, Michelle, please. How about friends, a warm welcome. I'll move this out of the way.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna take my mask off. First of all, I just wanna say how happy I am to be in this sanctuary. Every time I'm here, whether it's to be here with Embrace or with this congregation, I always feel like I'm home, you know, and being a United Methodist my whole life, wherever I travel and I go to a United Methodist church, I feel like I'm home. You know, I'm not always happy with the United Methodist Church, but nonetheless, I'm always happy to be home. And that's what church means to me. It means being with siblings that believe and have the same values that I have, that are raising money to send a young person to learn ministry and be a part of a ministry, to be a part of a church where not everybody is the same and nor should they be. And those of us that are broken and have found a way are welcome. And so whenever I come to Twin Tower, that's what I feel. I feel like I can bring my brokenness in and be forgiven and be loved and be accepted. So I hope that you feel that way as well this morning. And if not, then we owe you an extra hug before you leave. I chose Acts chapter 10 and particularly verses 34 through 35 for this morning's conversation with you, because I love the fact that Peter is a Jew who is saying to the Gentiles, which means non-Jew, I want to go and do something. And it always amazes me that the disciples are always trying to say they follow Jesus, but their habits of the time are always getting in the way. No, we don't hang out with those people. You know, those people over there, Jesus, why are you spending so much time with them? It's us, the holy, holy ones, because we know the book from the beginning to the end and we can recite it verbatim, that we want you to recognize us. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 I'm going to recognize everybody. And in this, when Peter begins to speak and he says to them, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism in the NIV version, meaning that God created all of us, but none of us have more say or are closer to God than any other. It's like being a parent. Every child that I have had the honor of being a parent to, there's three of them, I love them mightily. There's a difference between liking and loving. I didn't always like them, but I always loved them. And I never showed favoritism because I wanted them to know that they were a part of a whole family and that I loved them regardless of how they felt about me on any given day. God is saying, I created this cornucopia of magnificence for you to enjoy. It's like going to the garden or going to a different church where you look around and churches have stained glass windows, but they're all magnificent in their own way. What if we could look at each other the way we look at architecture and say how beautiful it is, and we travel miles to see a building that we've never seen before, but that we've heard is beautiful? What if we were able to say, I'm excited about going and being in a place where there are different people who are not like me, don't quite sound like me, but boy, I'm excited about being in their presence so that I can learn from them. God loves everyone. Peter is in the house of a Gentile in the first verse that was read, Acts, and Peter is visiting. Isn't that wonderful? When we say, see the people and go out and be with people, we're saying, visit with them. Not just wait for them to come in to visit with you here, but go out and visit with them there. The first homeless encampment that I ever went to when I began my ministry of working with unsheltered individuals, there was a woman and her name was Dorothy, and Dorothy lived over in People's Park in Berkeley. And I was helping her and we were visiting and she invited me into her tent. And like Peter, I was a little hesitant because I could smell the tent as she unzipped the door. And my senses told me, you don't want to go in there. It might be bad. It might have all kinds of germs and, oh my goodness, it's dirty and it's filthy. But Dorothy looked at me and looked in my eyes and she was inviting me into her home. She was inviting me into the place where all, her shelter. And I looked up and I realized, Michelle, you're being a Gentile. You're being a Pharisee. You're being everything that you don't believe in when you say you follow Christ. You better get in that tent. And I went in the tent and she was making me some tea with some water that I knew that had been sitting there for a while. And I thought to myself, you're gonna have to drink it. And then I thought to myself, I bet you get sick. But I drank it and we talked and time passed very quickly. And I realized that it was time for me to keep moving on because I had other things that I needed to do that day. And I thanked her for her hospitality as I climbed out of this tent. And I looked back at her and she came up to me with the filthiest hands that I have ever seen, with nails that had feces under them and all kinds of things. And she touched my face and she said to me, if you ever become homeless, you are welcome here. I live in a 3-bedroom house. And somebody who had less than me, somebody who I was judging before I went in that tent, offered me a space in her home. I will always remember her. She has since passed away because she was a diabetic and she was over the age of 65. And she was invisible to the world because she didn't look like she was living in abundance. We honor people who have degrees and have 3-bedroom homes like myself. And we say how magnificently wonderful those individuals are, and you're very willing to give me hospitality. But when we see the people that are created by God, we see Dorothy. We see her in her magnificence, and we know that when she invites us into her tent, she's inviting us into her castle. And the sweet fragrance of love manifests in that place. I was humbled that day and I learned a valuable lesson that day about myself, that I can be a little hypocritical sometimes. and I can allow my successes to become more important than seeing the people. We have to realize that we have to reach out and out of our comfort zones to be in those places where God really wants us to be. It's comfortable to come and sit in the church. This is beautiful. Look at it. It's really nice. Look up and then you can look up and there's all kinds of stuff happening. It's beautiful and it's comfortable. And we're looking around and we can see, thank you, sister. We can see people that are kind of like us. They believe what we believe, or they wouldn't have got up this early in the morning and bared the cold to be here. Or those of you that are on Zoom that got up early and decided to turn your Zoom on. So we're all believers. But God is asking us in this day and age in 2023, with everything that we know that's happening in Turkey and the Ukraine and the floods and six-year-old children getting guns and going and killing their teachers. Something's wrong. We are broke and broken. The spiritual food that lifts us up, that carries us through to the place where we can get rid of our implicit bias. And then when someone says, you make me feel this way, that we don't say, but, that we lean into the possibility that we may be showing a side of ourselves that we ourselves didn't even know existed. Time is now to look at the visual differences that we see within each other and look beyond there and see each other's hearts, because that's where the sameness comes in. That's where we come together and we focus on the bigger manifestation, which takes us to the Revelation verse. To the left, to the right, in all time, there will be every nation, every tongue, will all be clothed in white and will be, wow. How does that make you feel? Would you walk away from that experience being at the throne of God because you were standing next to somebody who didn't look or sound like you? I think God might see you walking away. And Revelation in heaven, we're saying we are going to all be together. We're going to be singing the praises of God. And in today's time, the Lord's Prayer says we can do it here. We may not have the robes of white. We may have our traditional clothing, our traditional hair, the things that make us beautiful and unique. But we can stand together and become bigger than we think we can and show the future generations that God created a humanity that should lock arms and be together and ask some questions of ourselves. Why do I feel uncomfortable? What is it in me or in the world or in the system that allows me to feel uncomfortable? And how do I choose peace and love over this uncomfortable feeling so that I can move forward in my ministry and grow closer to God? What is God's direction for me? I work at Alzheimer's Services of the East Bay, and I have the honor of working with people who have Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. It's my 26th year in that field. And on Friday, I always like to go down at the end of the day and sit with our patients just to have a conversation with them and feel them and be with them. One of the participants looked over at me on Friday. It's funny how God works. And said to me, I have a Black Lives Matter poster in my living room window. I said, oh, wow, that's great. She goes, I don't know why it's there. So I waited a minute. I said, well, what do you mean? She says, I don't know why it's there. So I couldn't really figure out whether it was because she couldn't remember why it was put there or whether she didn't know why it was really there. So I took the side of she didn't know why. And I said, well, probably your family is focusing in on Black Lives Matter at this moment because of all the atrocities that have occurred in the last 3 to 5 years that have been on social media. Even though we know those things have happened throughout the history of mankind, but yet now we're more, it's more visible and in our face. And so maybe that's why your family put it there. And she thought about that. She pondered that. Her mini mental score, by the way, is a 5, and 30 is perfection. So she's not able to remember and to really formulate ideas, but look at what God was doing in that moment, preparing me for this moment with you. And then she says to me, she looks up at me, she has the greatest sea blue eyes, and she said, I don't know if we need that sign. I think we need a sign that says all humanity matters. And I looked at her again and I said, you know, yeah, I think you're right. I think that because we have fragmented ourselves so much, we've also fragmented each other's pain. And because my oppression is more important than your oppression, and my hatred is stronger than your hatred, therefore we have biases and racism and ageism and sexism and all of those things. But if we came together and understood who we were, why we were created, then we would look at each other with magnificent awe. My last story. I have a godson who I love. He lives in Belgium. And I just got to meet him for the very first time in September of last year. He was born 10 years ago to one of my students, and I never got to meet him in person. I only got to meet him online. So Louis is his name. I arrived in Brussels while he was in school, and the day went by, and he wasn't able to see me until the early morning of the next day after my arrival. And I woke up to this child coming. I could hear him coming up the stairs. Michel, Michel, I could hear. And finally this face burst through the door and he hugged me and he jumped on the bed and we laughed and I said, Louis, I love you. And he said, Michel, I love you. And he looks like a white boy. But he loves me because every Christmas I send him wonderful presents. He loves me because every time we meet as a family on Zoom, I tell him how magnificently, wonderfully, ooh, he is made. And when I went to his school to pick him up, I saw a rainbow of children, all different colors, who Louis had told about his auntie from America, and they came running towards me and they said, do you own Toys R Us? Innocence. Innocence has acceptance in it. They were so excited to see Louis' auntie that they couldn't even see their parents that were waiting around them. I felt like a movie star that day. I felt so filled with so much love and hope for the future that something that I thought that I would never see in my lifetime was unfolding before my very eyes. So siblings, we've lived through a pandemic. We're living through gun violence. We're living through a politics that's weird and divides us, and we will live through the changes in the United Methodist Church. Because our focus has to be on that day that we all join hands, when we're all in glory, singing the praises of our King. And this is what they said. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And prior to that, they looked to the left, they looked to the right, and they saw all of mankind worshiping the one and the one mighty God, the triune God, with hallelujahs. Let that be us. I want to see you. I'm going to look for you. And I hope that you'll be there. Let's be in prayer. Creator God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to know that we are magnificently, wonderfully made, that you have created hues of people that so that when we look at each other, we don't get bored because we all look the same. We are so beautiful. We have brown, we have white. Actually, we don't even have white, as my little friend told me that he was a peach color. He said, "I'm not white, I'm peach." So Lord, we get all caught up in all these things when we don't look at the heart of each other, the soul of each other, and understand that we were created to lock arms together so that we can see the people and bring the people who are oppressed from their oppression and to help them to become disciples. Creator God, thank you for Twin Tower. Thank you for the folks in this building right now and those that will continue to come in. We thank you for the leadership of our sister Akesa and for brother Michael Yoshi, who will be here or is here today, and for brother Sam and all the leadership of the Cal Nevada Conference and the United Methodist Church. Lead us into victory, Lord, and help us to stop fighting among ourselves, because when we fight among ourselves, we don't have time for you. And help us to grow more closer together, so that when we see each other, that we get the butterflies of love in our hearts. And we seek you, Holy Spirit, and we ask you to come into us so that we can be courageous for the mighty work ahead. And we lift all prayers, spoken and unspoken, in the mighty name of Jesus. And when church said, amen. Thank you. Thank you.